Well, praise God. Let's jump into the Word of God, see what He has for us this morning. We'll do that later. Amen. So let's start by just reminding us of what we're talking about, a fervent pursuit of the truth. Okay, and it's something that gets stirred up because of so many of the deceptions and the things that are out there, that we have to stay on track with the truth. And last week we pressed into it, and I think this week will help elaborate a little bit more on where we were going with that. Let's start by prayer. Father God, we're thankful to be here in your presence, Father, to allow you to speak into our hearts and, Father, to use your word as a tool to encourage us and to point us in direction and to just to infuse us with you, Father, that we understand our relationship with you and your Holy Spirit, that we are led and guided and led in that perfect direction that will cause the best to be in our life, Lord. And I praise you for that. I thank you that you will lead us stir up something on the inside, Lord, that won't let us settle for second best, but we'll always press into you and always desire to go further and farther with you and let you do what you want to do in and through our life, Lord. That will be the best, and we pray you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So fervent pursuit of the truth, and I put in little brackets called never settle. Okay, never settle. And you'll understand that more as we get going through it. The verse I was going to tell you, I mentioned last week about some dreams, okay, that I had been having and over the last few weeks. And, you know, I don't put everything into dreams, but on occasion I wake up from a dream and I know it was a God dream. I know that it was something, whew, that's just right there in my face, and there's no way I can deny that. And in the last few weeks, I've had some pretty vivid dreams. I would call them thematic, okay, thematic. I think that's a word. But thematic, meaning they kind of have a theme to them, that they're kind of not exactly the same dream, but it's something that kind of gets that same message across. And for me, this theme has been the protection of the body of Christ and us in particular from deception, that we need to be aware of the lies and deceptions and things that may try to steal what the Lord has put into our heart. And so as I've had some of these dreams, I wake and I believe it's the Lord speaking to me. One of them I was going to tell you about is the dream was about, I can't say it because we're being recorded on it, but it's one of the main video social media things that's out there. Actually, I'm just kidding. I can actually say it, but it ended up being about the dangers of the internet, okay? And both as being sort of a tracking device, okay, that is gathering information about you and your likes and your dislikes, and it is profiling you to the point that at some point that information may be used against you as a Christian for persecution. Okay, I know that. I'm putting everything I am is out there. Okay, we've got YouTube channels, we've got Facebook, we've got other stuff that gets putting out messages, and it's all over the internet and my writings and books and all that stuff. So somebody could profile me pretty quickly from that information. Okay, and at some point, it may be come and used against me. The day will come when they call evil good and good evil. Okay, they're going to think they're doing God's service by putting you to death or in jail or whatever. Okay, I have a feeling some of that's going to start with guys like me that I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to say, oh, I don't believe in Jesus just so that I can keep on living. I'll go through what I need to do. Okay, so some of that is part of what that dream was about. Okay, and it kind of told me that at some point, some of those things are going to try to be used against us. About a week later, okay, and that, I guess it's just a beware, okay? If you're like me, I put stuff out there and I don't care so much. Okay, there are things that I don't put out there, and I might be able to explain that later on, but there are things that I don't simply because of people that I work with or the church as a whole. Okay, I don't want people coming against you guys and cornering you and say, well, your pastor said this and your pastor believes that. So there are certain things that I simply refrain from putting out there, okay? But for the most part, I am going to say what needs to be said. Okay, the other dream was about a week later. I had I'll call it a dream, but it was kind of more like vision kind of stuff because I wasn't really sleeping, okay? I was, and then I kind of woke up and I had this, but then it started kind of rolling around in my mind for a good 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the night. And it was a very detailed dream, I'll call it, about the disastrous tragedy that took place in Waco, Texas, many years ago. Some of you remember that incident. When a man named David Koresh deceived a fairly large number of people into believing that he was the Messiah. Okay? He had them so convinced to believe in him and to stand up for him, so much so that they eventually, they resisted against the FBI, the ATF, and other authorities, to the point of nearly every one of them being put to death, either by a gunshot or by the fire, and perishing in that fire that the authorities had started in their campground, or their compound, sorry. The way it all came to an end was an atrocious misuse of power by our government. But what was even more tragic, even more disheartening, okay, they had a movie on it, last year at some point, they had like a 6-part miniseries kind of thing on Waco, you know, that event. Okay, and what was so disheartening even to watch that, my kids and family and I watched it together and processed it, we talked through it. But one of the things that was so disheartening for me, especially as a pastor, was that most of the people that died were completely unaware of how far from the truth of Jesus Christ that they had strayed. They just didn't see it. They just were missing it. For many of them, the siege that was taking place as it was happening in their little commune was to be expected. They thought that this is what, you know, David said was going to happen, and so it's just happening. And they actually embraced it as part of God's plan for their lives, even though that couldn't have been further from the truth at that moment. And so as I laid in bed this one night, 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the night, I contemplated how such a thing could happen. Where did these people go wrong? What happened? What were they thinking on? What did they focus on? How did they get so deceived, so distracted from the truth of Jesus Christ? And I concluded that it was the man, David Koresh, that they were consumed with. They were clinging to what he said and thinking that what he said was absolute truth, rather than cleaving to the power and the presence and the anointing and the unction of the Almighty God and his Holy Spirit. Because when your focus strays from God and you get focused on man, eventually you're going to get off to some degree in your thinking. If you focus too much on the man and what the man is and how the man says it and what the man says, you will begin to get caught up in the man, okay, instead of into God. Now, I shared a little bit last week about some of my own research I did on Halloween and the roots of Halloween and some other topics, and how when you're studying, especially on the internet, how careful one must be when you're digging for the truth to decipher and to discern among all the information and all the misinformation that's out there. Okay, there is only one absolute truth, and the Spirit, known as the Spirit of Truth, aka the Holy Spirit, knows exactly what the truth is, and He will lead you to it, if you are seeking the truth through Him and not through man. The Holy Spirit is your key. He is your go-to. He knows. Hey, how's this going to turn out? He knows. What's going to happen next? He knows. Okay, He's the go-to. He is our one that knows the truth. Now, God at times will use men and women and sometimes even children to present the truth to you. God will speak through people. He'll use people all the time. He used a donkey of all things. But he many things in the Bible he would use to help to shape and to present a truth to someone so that they could get it in their language. Even the Apostle Peter, when he was at one point reminding his readers to maintain your focus on Jesus, don't get caught up, just stay focused on Jesus, he said that even the prophecies in the Scriptures were not written by the will of man, but that holy men of God spoke them as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Okay, and so he still said the truth, even though it was put out there by man, it still came from the Holy Ghost. Okay, the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit is the one that will ultimately reveal the divinely inspired Scriptures to you. Okay, the Holy Spirit begins to make them alive and make it real to you. Okay, now a few weeks ago, I was led to read a book that had been given to me by a pastor friend several years ago. I had just shelved it. You know, I got a bunch of books at the same time and maybe started with one, but that one in particular, I had shelved it. I just put it away. And recently, and a few weeks ago, I picked it up and started reading through it. It's a book called Power Through Prayer. Okay, and it's by a man named E.M. Bounds. Okay, and he's a pastor. He was a guy that in the 1800s, last half of the 1800s, first 20 years or so of the 1900s, and was a pastor and a mentor, and he wrote a few books. He wrote 11 of them, in fact. 9 out of those 11 books were written on prayer. Okay, 9 out of his 11 books that were published by E.M. Bounds were on the topic of prayer. See, Pastor Bounds was a very, very focused man. He understood the absolute necessity for the Holy Spirit's revelation in order to remain in the truth of God and His Word. He states that if the unction of the Holy Spirit, that prompting unction of the Holy Spirit, he says that it is that unction of the Holy Spirit that will separate one preacher from another. The one will preach with a divine power, okay, that will incite genuine understanding and life change, while the other will simply teach with a carefully crafted words filled with man's wisdom. Now, I'd like to take his thought that he said it's the unction that separates one believer, one preacher from another, to say that I think it's more than just the pastors and preachers that are distinguished between whether or not they have the unction of the Holy Spirit or not. But every believer, every Christian expresses outwardly what's going on inwardly. If they're being led and guided by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, it's going to show. And if they are being led by their flesh, if they are living in the Spirit but not walking in the Spirit, that is going to be evident as well. Now, I get asked on occasion by Christians, some that are hungry Christians, hey, they're thriving. They're wanting to learn and grow, and they're pursuing God. They're desiring this relationship with God. And they ask, why would so-and-so do something like that? I thought they were a mature Christian. And I can hear or see this, the disappointment in their question, in their voice. Because as a growing Christian, when you're thriving on God, you think everybody around you as a Christian is thriving on God too. You all should be growing, right? And man, this is great. God has shown me so much stuff. And you just think everybody around you is growing in that same manner. And so why would someone that they look up to, why would one of their supposed elders in the Lord be so easily deceived or easily compromised in one area of their life or another, to compromise their walk with God? Well, a main part of the answer is that they have become stagnant. Okay, someone walking with the Lord for a long time doesn't mean that they're an elder in the Lord necessarily. Okay, there are some that are hungry and pursuing, and I see them grow at leaps and bounds. And somebody that's been a Christian for 40 years can be as stagnant as anybody you've ever met. As carnal as Christian as the world. Okay? So it comes down to a passionate pursuit of the truth to make sure that you're continually growing. Okay? Because some Christians have grown stagnant. They've become apathetic. We talked about that last week. They become self-sufficient. Okay? When it comes to knowing right from wrong, they know enough. They know how to figure that out. And so they begin living their life according to their mind and their emotions rather than the promptings of the Holy Spirit. They don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. And I've seen Christians grow and be all hungry for the Lord, and then pretty soon they start seeing things happening or whatever it is. They get to this point where they're not following the promptings of the Holy Spirit anymore. They think they know better. They got it figured out. They know what they're supposed to do. And they quit relying on the Holy Spirit. That passionate pursuit of the revelation knowledge, that understanding that is only truthfully revealed by the Spirit of God, has become secondary. Okay, it should be our first instinct. Okay, you have to change your instinct a little bit because your carnal one did not go to God. Okay, your carnal one had an idea that God was in outer space, but your spiritual man, your new man, understands that God is the source of everything, and you're going to God, and then over time, some people begin to make that secondary and go back to trying to deal with the world on the world's terms. Yes. You know, most of you know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Okay, now you have to keep this directive, I'll call it, in the forefront of your mind all day long. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, all being a key word. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your life, your path. How many people, this is kind of a side note, I thought of this morning as I was reading through my notes. How many people saw the movie WALL-E? Anybody see WALL-E? Okay, yeah, WALL-E was around a long time ago. He's a robot guy, and he was kind of a miniature trash compactor, right? And he was dropped off on planet Earth because planet Earth was so full of trash and garbage that it had become uninhabitable, and everybody moved away to live on a giant spaceship, right? Okay, you following? Well, WALL-E was on this planet because there was no life on it. The people had moved away. Nothing green could grow. No vegetation. And then you remember that the big spaceship sent a little robot named Eva. Eva. Okay, and so Eva shows up, kind of a cute little robot, but she had a directive from her master that said, you're going to the planet, you will look for green vegetation, and if you find it, you will collect it, gather it, and stay put until we come to get you. And then you can take it to the captain of the big ship, okay, and present it to him and show that it is proof that there's life on Earth again. Okay, she had a directive. And anybody, if you remember that movie, that word is used over and over. She would, you know, want to go with WALL-E and go frolic, but then she's like, no, directive. And she would just shut down because she had to follow her directive. That was her biggest, everything in her life evolved around her completing her directive. Okay, now I know that's kind of funny to use that in a biblical sense, but this is our directive. Okay, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him so that he can direct our paths. Okay, that is our directive that we want in the front part of our mind all the time that we don't lose sight of. Becoming further acquainted with the Holy Spirit, pursuing intimacy with the Holy Spirit should be an everyday need for you and I. Okay, it's something that we just have to have more of the Holy Spirit's understanding so we know how to live and act and what to say and not say, what to do and not do. And today, I'm asking you to let that passion, okay, let that desire, that hunger be stirred up again. Okay, if it has waned a little bit and maybe you're not as hungry as you were at one time, let it be stirred up. Okay, and if you're already so hungry and you're thriving on God and you just want more and more, then keep that going, knowing that you're on the right track. Because we should never get to the point of where mediocrity or just mundane is okay, we're okay with that. Okay, we need to go beyond that. You remember Jesus said in Luke 6:21, he said, blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Okay, not too long later, chapter 11, verse 9, he said, I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Okay, now the Holy Spirit of God is what God has given to us to help us to understand the ways of God. In order to understand the deeper things of God, to be able to get past surface level Christianity, to get past the mundane, to get past the satisfied, you know, life is okay, to get past that, we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is so connected in such a way with God that he knows God. And so when you're asking of God, what am I supposed to do? What direction should I go? How do I handle this? The Holy Spirit knows what God wants to say to you. Okay? And so we seek and receive from Him that revelation knowledge. Now, many believers today are just going through life with sort of a surface level understanding of the ways of God. Okay? And you're getting by. You're getting by. You're saved from the wrath to come. Your eternal destiny has been secured. But unless you're pressing into the presence and the power and seeking that unction of the Holy Spirit, you're still missing out. Okay? And today, I want to encourage you to go beyond just being okay with the current depth of your walk with God and to press into God, to tap into God, to that unction of the Holy Spirit, to tap into what He is saying and speaking and why He is saying it. Now, again, it's kind of funny, but there is some commercials out right now by AT&T. Anybody ever seen the Just Okay is Not Okay? Okay, they're kind of a funny commercial, but they illustrate this point really good. I had Elijah pull one up. Go ahead, buddy.
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay.
Okay. Just okay is not okay. Okay, that guy's going in with a surgeon that he doesn't know what he's doing, right? That's not okay. Now, I pull this up because they're funny commercials. There's, I don't know, 6 or 8 different ones along this line. Okay, but the premise of the commercials, in my mind, is outstanding. What they are implying is why settle for just okay when you can have the best? Okay, why be content with less than what is available? Okay, God's full power, God's full anointing is available to you, and yet sometimes you are settling for less. God has put hopes and dreams, desires, things down in your heart. He has laid out an abundant life in front of you, and yet you're still settling for the mundane. In some ways, it's like if you have goals that you could reach in a year, okay, but you're only running on half power, so maybe you'll get there in 2, if you get there at all. Right? You ever see, I told the story about the boys and their drones. When their drones begin to lose power, their battery power, they just can't go as far as fast, right? And they begin to kind of sink down, and pretty soon they're on the ground. Okay? That's what happens if we don't tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. He is so much more and never-ending, unlimited supply. And yet, if we don't tap into that, we'll be doing it on our own power. Okay? Maybe getting by, maybe half speed. The Lord really impressed upon my heart that the main reason that we aren't receiving His best is because we're willing to settle for less than His best. Okay, we've been influenced by the world more than by God's Word, to the point that we're a little bit dumbed down, okay, learning to accept far less than what God had provided. And as long as, get this, as long as you can live with less than God's best, you will. As long as you can live with less than God's best, you will. I don't want less than God's best. I want everything. I want it. If God said it's possible, I want it. I want all that He has to offer. Everything. His Holy Spirit came with a magnitude of power. Okay, He came with a magnitude of understanding. Something that is far beyond what this world... I could never go to the internet and learn what I can learn from the Holy Spirit in a second. Okay, He can show you things that have not yet happened. Tell you what's going to happen. Lead you in a direction so that you're in the right place at the right time to receive that blessing. Okay? But if we're not tapping into Him, we're not going to get that. Okay? We're just going through life, I'll figure it out. You know, like the doctor in that little video says, we'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Okay? That's Christian's attitude. You know what? I'm going through life. Yeah, certain things are ups and downs, whatever. It'll be okay. And we just kind of brush it off and we stay with that. You really have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired before you'll aggressively pursue God's best for your life. You have to have a holy dissatisfaction with mediocrity before you'll experience all that God has for you. Because it doesn't just happen accidentally, and it doesn't just happen automatically. If you don't pursue it, you won't get it. But you remember Jesus said, but if you seek, you'll find. If you're knocking, it's going to be opened. If you're asking, you will receive. So we just have to raise our sights a little bit higher. Now, most of you know the verse in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Had it on the cover of my Bible for a long time. God prompted Jeremiah to say, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Okay, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Okay, but when the Lord spoke to Jeremiah to write those words, Israel was going through a tough time. They were devastated at that time. The city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. Okay, many of the people had been carried away captive to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. Thoughts of peace, hope, was probably the last thing on their minds. But Jeremiah went on to say in the next couple verses, basically the next breath, he said, then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Okay, you know, right there is one of the keys to Christian living. I said when you're giving all of your understanding to God, okay, trusting the Lord with all of your understanding, right? Okay, here's another one that he says, seek for him with all of your heart. Okay, not just part of it. That's the missing element. We have to reach that point where we won't live with anything less than God's best. I'm not settling anymore. Okay, that's why I named it, nickname of the sermon was, don't settle. Right? Don't give in to that. Don't say enough, I'll just go with what I've got. You have to raise that bar of expectations. Okay, when it comes to things like your physical body, your health, okay, and healing in your body, raise the bar on that. Don't settle. Your finances, raise the bar on that. Your relationships, you don't have to go without a good friend or without that companion or that Christian relationships or those things that you're desiring. You don't have to settle for less than that. Don't quit until you get it from God. Okay, I'm not saying you're pastoring him. Don't take me wrong. I'll give you an example. A pastor that I know shared this story about how they had a service and it had to do with healing, and afterwards people came up and were receiving healing. And one of the men that came up to him said, he said, I've got this terrible pain in my neck and it makes it so I can't sleep at night. And then he went on and said, and I've also got a back problem. I've got a problem with my sciatic nerve and it causes pain to shoot all the way down my leg. And I've got also neuropathy, and I'm struggling with this, and I've got this problem, and I've got that problem. And he started naming all the problems that he had. He went on and on. And then he says, but pastor, if you could just pray, if God could just heal the pain in my neck, I could live with all the rest. See, his focus was on the one thing and not the whole thing. Okay, he was willing to settle for just getting this healed and suffer through with the rest of it. Okay, now if you've ever been there, I know I've been there, had issues over the years and health things and whatever, physical things in my body. And I remember praying similar prayers. Lord, if you just heal that one spot in my foot, you know, I'll deal with the elbow pain, or, you know, whatever it is. Okay, but that kind of a prayer is why we don't get that answer. We're not applying faith to that. God isn't into just healing one little tiny piece of you. Remember the people that got healed in the Bible? They were made whole, okay? Very whole, okay? That was God's intention. That was God's best for them. Okay? For that man, he was willing and to settle for less than God's best, and so that attitude is what was keeping him from receiving that. You know, there's many Christians today that are just as sick, just as broke, just as emotionally stressed out as their unsaved neighbors. And yet they could and should be walking in so much better. You're never going to receive God's best until you come become completely dissatisfied with second best. Don't settle for it. Don't say, okay, I'll just take what I can get. Okay, I guess that's all God's able to do. That same pastor told about that story of that man that he joked with the guy a little bit. He says, okay, I know that if I pray for God to heal all those things, that the lights in heaven would dim and he probably won't get it. So let's just not pray it at all. And the guy looks at him like, what? And then it dawned on him, you're right. I'm asking too small. If God's going to heal one part of me, why wouldn't he just heal the whole thing? Okay, and so the idea is that we got to be willing to go beyond, not settle for mediocrity, become completely dissatisfied with second best. Andrew Womack quoted one time, he said, if you don't stir yourself up, you'll settle to the bottom. Okay, and that idea is to keep yourself stirred up, looking for more of God, receiving more, expecting the blessings, going after it, because if you don't stir yourself up, you'll settle to the bottom and be mundane. You'll be in a place where this is okay, is just okay. Okay, just okay is okay. You know, a great Bible example, I want to end with this, but it's outlined in the book of 2 Kings, and it's where Elisha the prophet, literally from his deathbed, prophesies to King Joash. Okay, and during that prophecy, he starts by, Elisha was literally dying. But and he has Joash, he doesn't have him come. Joash comes to see him. And Elisha says, grab a bow and arrow. And so he grabs a bow and arrow. And Elisha gets up and he puts his arms around him and he grabs his hand and he grabs the string and the arrow and he pulls it back and points it out a window and flings it out the window. He says, Joash, that is the arrow of God's deliverance for you. And he says, now, take a handful of arrows out of that quiver and smack him on the ground. And Joash takes those arrows out and he hits the ground three times, and then he kind of looks over at Elisha, and Elisha gets pretty upset with him. He says, you should have struck the ground more than three times. You should not have stopped. He said, you stopped after three times, so now the arrows, that deliverance, you're only going to be delivered three times. Okay, and the moral of that story is that God does not want you to quit. Okay, he told him if you would have kept hitting the ground five or six times, you would have been completely delivered from your enemies. But since you just hit the ground three times, you'll only be delivered from your enemies three times. In other words, God doesn't want you to quit. God doesn't want you to go at things half-heartedly. He wants all of your heart to pursue him. And then the revelation knowledge that can come only through the Holy Spirit will begin to lead and guide you and show you more of him. See, as you see yourself as 100% dependent on the Holy Spirit for success, that you can't make it through another day without hearing from the Holy Spirit. Okay, and it's not about going to people and you can look up online and read good things. And I'm not saying stay away from your Bible, but I'm saying pursue the Holy Spirit because he knows what the next move is. He knows what the next step should be. He knows perfectly the absolute best for your life in God's eyes. And he will lead you into that if you will follow his prompting. So seek him. Talk to Holy. It's okay to call him by name. Say, Holy, what do you want me to do here? And he'll begin to speak. And don't quit by just waiting for 3 minutes. Okay? Keep waiting. If you need to wait until you hear the Holy Spirit, how much better is it going to be for you if you wait and hear what the Holy Spirit says and do that than if you wait for 3 minutes and don't hear anything and then jump and do your next step? You got to wait on him. Wait for him to speak, and he will. Okay? Don't think. If you're thinking, well, I don't know if he knows how to speak to me, you probably won't hear him. But if you're expecting, you know what? He's big enough to get the point across to me. He knows my name. He knows my number. He knows how to get a point across to me. If he's got to kick your feet out from under you, he won't do that. But if he had to, he could. Okay. The idea is that he'll get your attention. Okay. And when he has your attention, you'll hear. And you'll begin to know on the inside what it is that you're supposed to do. And you'll begin to hear more of that unction of the Holy Spirit, that prompting, that leading, showing you that this is the direction to go and when to go there. Okay, we don't want to settle for less than what God has for us. And we don't, like I began in the beginning, we don't want to get off track by following after man or getting our focus off of the Almighty God. Put it on God, His Holy Spirit that was sent to lead and guide us right here, to reveal some things to us, who knows perfectly the things of God, and keep your focus on Him. He is our source of understanding, and as we seek Him daily, we're going to receive and hear and understand better what to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father God, we praise You this morning. I thank You that, Father, You're stirring up hearts this morning. You're stirring us on the inside to just to pursue You, to go after You, and to desire an understanding from You. And Lord, I believe that You have every person's name, number, and a way to get a hold of every person that hears or listens to this message, every person in this room. You know how to speak to them. And those things that You're speaking right here, right now, even today, that You're speaking into their hearts about direction, about people, relationships, about their finances, about their health, things that You're speaking to them. I pray that today's the day that they say, you know what? I'm not settling for not hearing. I'm going to wait till I hear. I desire to hear from You, and I hear. In Jesus' name, I thank You, Father. Lead and guide us as we go forth from here. Let people understand You more than they did when they came in, and throughout this week, that Your word will keep penetrating their heart, Lord. Just okay is not okay. We want more. We want it all. If You provided and offered it, then we want it, Lord. And we reach out and take it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.